Ephesians chapter 2, from the verse number 10 to the verse number 22.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and this newly made form God blessed with the breath of life, and so man became a living soul. That was the beginning of gifts and blessings that God gave to the man. The gift of life, the breath of life. The next gift God gave to this man is a garden eastward in Eden, and there the Lord placed the man whom he had formed. And the blessings, the gifts go on and on. This man had no way of earning anything before he got formed by the Lord God, the Creator. This man was only dust. This teaching, this lesson that we can learn from the beginning has been repeated to us on and on through the Scriptures. And that teaching is defending our heart and mind from the onslaught of the enemy, the Satan, the adversary of our souls, that would always try to make us feel that we deserve something, actually that we deserve more than what we get from the Lord. The truth is, every good gift cometh from the Lord. We earn nothing and we deserve nothing. And so once again in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 we are reminded of that. We are his, God's, workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It's a great gift of God to us. If the Lord wanted to, he could have left us to our own desires, and even to the end of our life we would have been sinners lost in the darkness and violence and ignorance of the world. But the Heavenly Father has decided in his goodness and grace to make us, to create us new creatures, new beings, his own nation in Christ Jesus. The purpose of our existence here in Christ is that we do good works. But these good works are not of our own making. It didn't happen like that, that we were a new creature and then we start thinking and we got all of good ideas, our own ideas, how we are going to do good works. No, that's not the case. Before we were created in Christ Jesus as these new creatures, new nation, God ordained the good works that we should walk in them. He made a path for us in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And now in the verse number 11, Paul is teaching us by the Spirit of the Lord again, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, at the same time in that same world existed the Jews, the Levites, some of the Hebrews that were circumcised. And they called us Gentiles, these uncircumcised pagan peoples. These circumcised people were right and wrong. In some things they were wrong, in the other things they were right. They were right when they called us uncircumcised, for that's exactly what we were. And they were wrong when they considered them anything better than us, because they had circumcision in their flesh, but not in their spirit, in their heart and mind, which would be the true, real circumcision. That circumcision they boasted of, that was made in their flesh by the human hand, that's a sign of real and true circumcision, a mark, a sign of the covenant with God, the covenant God made with the fathers. In order for them to be the heirs of the promises and the heirs of the covenant of God given to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, they needed to believe and obey the word of God. So we were Gentiles, uncircumcised in the flesh, and the Hebrews were circumcised in the flesh. And both the Hebrews and the Gentiles were in the flesh. Neither one side was in Christ. Oh yes, there were some exceptions. John the Baptist was in Christ. Simeon was an Old Testament Christian, and so was Anna the prophetess. The parents of John the Baptist, Zacharias and Elizabeth, were disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Old Testament. So were Joseph and Mary. To a certain degree, the shepherds in the fields of Bethlehem that received the news from the angels were disciples of the Lord Jesus. They believed the message and they did not spare efforts to see the proof of that message, to see with their own eyes the glorious, wonderful beginning of something that cannot be measured, cannot be described, salvation in the Son of God. Paul is saying here, remember therefore, and then in the verse number 12, there is more to remember. Remember that at that time ye were without Christ, lost, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. The promises were not made to our fathers, but to the fathers of Israel. However, when we believe the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the faith of Abraham, we became his children. So Paul is telling us, remember that at that time ye were without Christ, alien from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. Remember, you were hopeless and without God in the world. Godless people. That's what we were before we were created in Christ. But now, in Christ, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And Paul is saying to us, remember that. Remember the difference between being dead in trespasses and having been created in Christ, God's own workmanship. These are all gifts we received from the Father, even before we were able to ask. But these gifts were not without a price, only we had no way of paying for them. And the Lord God did not want us to pay. He wanted to give us all these gifts. However, He paid for them. And the price was an awful, awesome, enormous price. That's what the verse number 13 is reminding us of. Now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The next two verses, verse number 14 and the verse number 15, are very, very interesting and not very easy to understand and to explain, at least not for me. For He is our peace, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, between the Jews and the Gentiles, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. In the Epistle to the Romans, in the first three chapters, we can see that both the Jews and the Gentiles are under sin. And then we can see that both the Jews and the Gentiles, which were clinging to the righteousness by doing the commandments of the law, the commandments of God, were righteous. In Romans chapter 2, verse 24, we read, "The name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, the Jews, the people circumcised in the flesh, as it is written." So it's not the only place here referring to their faithlessness. And then again in the same chapter 2, Romans chapter 2, verse 26, he says, "Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision?" And the answer is, yes, it will. "And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter. Whose praise to that circumcision praise is not of man, but of God." In the chapter 3, Epistle to the Romans still, verse 9, "What then? Are we, the Gentiles, better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God." In this same chapter 3, Epistle to the Romans, from the verse number 21 and on, I read, "But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference between the sinners of the Gentiles and the sinners of the circumcision. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness, God's righteousness, for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, that's the time of the New Testament, the time after the cross and the resurrection, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, and at the same time, the justifier of him that believed in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. We can add to this two verses from the chapter 4, Epistle to the Romans, chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And he, Abraham, received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also, and that he must be or might be the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 2, I read, "A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord." This is a huge wall of partition. And the children of the bastard did not necessarily commit or repeat the same sin of their father, grandfather, great-grandfather, and great-great-grandfather. But the curse of that sin continues to be upon them. In this same chapter 23 of Deuteronomy, in the verse number 3, "An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever." I think, perhaps, if we would search all through the law, from the beginning of the scriptures all the way to the last prophet, that we could find more of these parts of the great partition between those for whom the congregation of the Lord has been closed and the others for whom the congregation of the Lord was open and accessible. But the Lord Jesus Christ is our peace, who hath made both one. He hath broken down the middle wall of partition between those that cannot enter and the others that might enter into the congregation of the Lord. Now this partition is not between the two groups, but rather between those that believed in Christ Jesus, our peace and our abolishment of the partition between us and the Almighty and All-Holy God, and the others that rejected the grace of the Father in the Son and refuse to believe and obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The enmity of sin and condemnation that had been between the mankind and the Heavenly Father, just as we read in the beginning when Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden through their transgression, there was that sword of a cherub always pointing toward them wherever and whenever they would turn back and look toward the tree of life. So the ordinances in the law were like a sword against all those against whom the ordinances were made, that is, sinners. And we might wonder today, was that right? Was that just? What is justice? Well, there is justice in all of that. According to the perfect divine justice, none, Jews nor Gentiles, should ever have been acceptable to the Almighty and All-Holy God. But that unacceptance the Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself, and he abolished that partition in his flesh, that enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. By accepting the judgment we deserved upon himself, the Lord Jesus Christ in his flesh removed that enmity between us and the justice of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ made peace for us with the Lord God Almighty by reconciling both the Jews and the Gentiles unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So there is no partition anymore between circumcised in the flesh and uncircumcised in the flesh, but the partition is between those that believed and by faith accepted the grace of the Lord in Christ Jesus as our Savior, and the others on the other side of that partition, those that by rebellion and rejection of God's grace continue in their sins. Just as we can see on Golgotha, on one side of the middle cross, the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is a sinner saved by grace, who in his repentance begged for mercy and salvation and received the promise of life everlasting from our Lord and Savior. And the other cross, or the other sinner that is dying in his sins, continually in rejection of God's grace. In the verse number 17, I'm back now in the Ephesians chapter 2. In the verse number 17, he came, the Lord Jesus Christ, came and preached peace to you, to us, which were afar off, the Gentiles, and to them that were nigh, the Israelites. Now, the Israelites that were faithful and believed and obeyed the commandments of the Lord were nigh. And the Israelites that were disobedient and rebellious against the commandments of the Lord were so far, even farther than the Gentiles that were ignorant of the commandments of the Lord and the law received through Moses and all of the law until the coming of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ came and preached peace, peace between the sinners and the Heavenly Father. For through him, the Lord Jesus Christ, we both, sinners of the Gentiles and sinners of the Israel, the people of God, we both have access by one Spirit unto the one Father, our Heavenly Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Back to the verse number 11. Remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. Verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israelite. Verse number 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And just as in the days of Noah, before the great flood, the most important point was not how far or how nigh to the ark anyone was, but that only those that were in the ark have found salvation that God has promised, because they obeyed the word of the Lord. As the Lord Jesus Christ came and preached that peace, that gospel of peace, gospel of salvation, gospel of repentance, gospel of forgiveness, the whole gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, he preached that to everyone, no matter how far a sinner in his or her sins was from the Lord, receiving and obeying the gospel, he had an open entrance, open access to the grace of the Heavenly Father in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. No matter how close an Israelite was to the Lord God Almighty through the knowledge of the law, through the knowledge of the prophets and Psalms and Proverbs, everything that was in the law, in the Holy Scriptures, up until that moment that the Lord Jesus proclaimed the gospel. If that Israelite was not in Christ, he was just as lost as the Gentiles, even worse than that. For through him, the Lord Jesus, both the Jews and the Gentiles have access by one Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, unto the Father by peace in his forgiveness of our sins. And the Apostle Paul is saying, remember all of this. Remember that now, because of all the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and part of the household of God. We are his household, his family. All the abundance of God's grace is open to us and given to us in Christ Jesus our Lord and Savior. And we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief corner, part of that building, the foundation and the strength and the security and the safety of that building of faith. The whole building of faith, fitly framed together, is growing unto an holy temple in the Lord. We remember that the King Solomon, or under the rulership of the King Solomon, the temple of the Lord was completed. But this temple that the Lord Jesus Christ is building is not finished yet. It is still growing. It is still in building until the last redeemed soul will be perfected in Christ and enter into that everlasting peace and the glory of our Heavenly Father. When the Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation and the strength of that building, that holy temple of the Lord, when we are included in that building and we are growing for an habitation of God through the Spirit, then the Spirit of the Lord God Almighty, the Holy Spirit of Christ the Savior, our King and Master, is in that building, is in every heart that is worshiping the Lord in Christ Jesus. So, once again, we can remember in the verse number 11, remember what happened, what was in the past, what happened in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then what we see in the verse number 9 of this same chapter 2, lest any man should boast. No boasting has any room in the heart of a faithful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of boasting, there is all gratitude for His goodness and grace, for the wonderful mercies of our Heavenly Father, and the unsearchable wealth of His gifts and blessings that He has given us in Christ Jesus. None of that outside of Christ, all of that in Christ. May we continually pray and strive to be obedient, faithful, and grateful, and may our gratitude be expressed in continually doing the will of the Lord in full obedience, that He might continually multiply the fruits of His Spirit's in our daily walk, in our charity and loving kindness among ourselves, and our reaching out to the world in need of His salvation.